Welcome to the Motivation Without the Hype podcast with your host, Jez Perez. He's an author, high performance coach, and motivational speaker. This show brings you inspiring messages and interviews to unleash your greatness in life and in business. So let's get started.
Hi everyone, welcome to Motivation Without the Hype podcast show. My name is Jez Perez, a former procrastinator into an action taker. We bring you inspirational messages and interviews, including motivational insights, tips, principles, and proven strategies that you can take action on without the hype and unleashing your greatness in life and in business. Now, we appreciate you plugging in and spending time with us, and we have a very special guest, and I'm super grateful to have him on our show. Now, upon returning to Australia after 3 years from 17 years of age to 20 of playing basketball at the highest level in the USA alongside some of today's NBA stars, 24-year-old James Anderson, immediate place in some of the Melbourne's top performing teams in the commercial, investment and luxury residential real estate markets. Now, James brings a wealth of property passion and knowledge. His success has been notable in Melbourne's growth corridor market, where he has previously managed high-performing sales team with proven results for both investors and home buyers. James has featured in articles across prominent media platforms such as Yahoo Finance, International Business Times, Medium, and the Australian Business Journal. Now, he prides himself and his team on clear and transparent communication in dealing with clients and attributes a great deal of his success to exactly that. Now, James has a strong passion, not just for property, but also for personal and self-development, and is zealous about motivating others to get most out of their everyday lives to live happy and fulfilled. Now, in today's episode, it is from elite basketball to elite business. Let's get started. Now, James, welcome to the podcast show.
Thanks very much for having me, James. Really appreciate it.
Now, it's always good to have a fellow Aussie as well, even from different states, but it's always good to have an Aussie along the side. So, look, before we start, I'm a huge basketball fan. Now, before we dive in, which team do you follow at the moment?
Yeah, I don't really follow a specific team too much. I've actually never followed a specific team too much, but because of one of my good mates from high school's playing on Memphis at the moment, I'm following the Grizzlies, and they're doing pretty well. They're 37 and 23. So yeah,
Lakers. I think I'm a Laker fan from the 90s. So when Magic days, yeah, and then Kobe,
of course,
yeah. But obviously, yep, your classic Michael Jordan, the Bulls. I think everyone followed them. So by the way, yeah, Who's the GOAT? Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
MJ for sure. Yeah. I've always said this. You know, I grew up watching MJ. I think he's had a tougher, better defender. And at the end of the day, you know, he's won 6 titles.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Awesome. I thought this was a bit of a segue. I keep it light touch as well. Usually in the podcast episodes, it's usually just straight into it, but we wanted to get, you know, the audience to get the feel and, you know, who you are and what you do. So basically just give us a rundown of your journey, James.
Absolutely. So, yeah, as you mentioned earlier, at 17, I moved over to America to play basketball on scholarship at the high school level. So I moved by myself, family stayed here, and I was a boarding student over there for my last two years of high school, years 11 and 12, where I, you know, got to play with and experience, you know, some of the highest level of basketball in America at the high school level. In my year 12 equivalent or senior year over there, we won the high school national championship. So nice. We were the best high school in America. You know, there's been, you know, a huge competition, which was back then called Dick's Nationals. And now it's called the Geico Nationals. So that was me in high school before moving over and doing a year of college over there. In my year of college, I played at DePaul University, which was a Division I college. And, you know, I didn't play a lot, but got the college experience over there in the middle of Chicago, which was just unreal. Wow. Getting to experience, not just the university life, but the city life at the same time. So came back after that, as you said, and cracked straight into it. Started to hit up, some really, really big corporate firms and managed to slot myself into a really high performing team in the commercial real estate space at 20.
Wow.
Moved on to another company. By the time I was 21, I was managing a sales team. 22, started my own business and here I am today. And, the business Bluestone Property Corporation, we do buyer's agency. So we're helping clients across Australia purchase, first homes. We also help investors. So we do investors Australia wide. What we're really doing is trying to help clients that really need that assistance in purchasing real estate, might want to help build out a sort of strategy as far as, what a 10, 20 year timeline looks like. We're able to work with our sort of finance team to really dig into the details and help our clients every step of the way, not just to sort of transact property, but to continue thereafter.
That's awesome. Yeah. Why real estate? So, before we go into the nitty gritty stuff to get to know you in depth and share your thoughts on success, but why real estate? Yeah. Why property? What is it? Because there's influence around growing up? Did you have anyone there? Like, what sparked that interest of, I'm coming back from the US. I've got a different vibe. I've got a different energy, different mindset. Let's go in property.
That's a really good question. So my father was quite a high-performing commercial real estate agent. And all throughout my childhood, I was encouraged by a couple of people in my family, including my father, get into property. And I hated the stigma around real estate agents. I wanted to be nothing like my dad. I didn't want to come off the back end of his success. And so I was always very, very vocal that I will never get into property, never. But sure enough, as I was at college over in America, I had a lot of people start telling me, hey, James, have you thought about real estate? Have you thought about property? We think it'd be really good. I even had one of my lecturers, my professors, say that to me. And at that time, because I was thinking about making the move back to Australia, the reason for making the move was I wanted to start making money and start sort of progressing my career, which I couldn't do so much if I was playing basketball in America. So, I think my idea at the time of success in the commercial world was sort of property, because that's what I had grown up being around by, being around my dad. I used to go to some of his inspections, listen to him on the phone. So that's the reason why I think property was, although I didn't want it to be, so ingrained deeply in me. And then, just took the path and never looked back.
And I really resonate with you because I started my career in real estate and my dad was a real estate agent director. And I hated to be in that footstep because it's, back in the days in the 90s where, the market at that time was quite good. And so everyone's all gunning it. And I share that experience with you and totally get you. And I was like, I want to do it completely differently, different route. But now here I am, coaching high performing leaders. So
it's awesome.
A full circle. So when you transition, from high performing sports, you go through the rigorous trainings, but the inbuilt of mindset, how did you translate that into a high level business where you are today? And what were the challenges? Can you just share those moments, what those challenges were?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I transitioned, I was already eyeing off the highest performing commercial real estate team when I was in America. So I was actually speaking with my dad back and forth, and there's a really high performing team led under my old boss, Mark Weisel, here in Melbourne at CBRE. And I was talking to, what's the highest performing team? He told me what it was, it's just super strict, regimented, Wolf of Wall Street sort of thing. Which you don't really want to say that, but a lot of people were saying that about this particular team. And so I did a lot of research and actually reached out to the director while I was still in America. So I had my sights set on that transition as it was. So I was very, very focused and had a clear sort of path, a clear vision on what that was going to look like. Now, the transition that when I was actually over there was quite easy, right? Because in a high performing business environment, you get the same things that you see in a high performing sporting environment, right? That you expect much more than, you know, what is normal or considered normal to be, you know, out of someone. So, you know, let's say you got someone just working a what many would consider a regular 9-to-5 job, not as much is asked of you as if you're playing sport at the elite level. Right. So, you know, you're asked to be up early, you're asked to have a full schedule packed with, you know, weights at this time, study at this time, physiotherapy at this time, skills training at this time, team training at this time, right? You've got all these things and everything that is surrounding your day. When I moved over to the business side, I really found that a lot was being asked of me, even at 20, right? So I knew that I needed to get the most out of myself. I knew that I couldn't just sit back and do nothing. I needed to perform at a high level. I needed to arrive early, leave late, right? Just as you used to do when we were training, because you need to get the most out of your training sessions. And you know, I guess that one particular moment that resonated with me when I moved back to Australia was in front of the whole boardroom of you know, grown men. Here's this 20-year-old. I'm copping an absolute spraying from the director, right, in front of everyone. And I just thought, God, this really reminds me of when I was in America, you know, new kid, you know, younger guy on the team and, you know, had just arrived in America. And I remember I was copping a spraying by my coach and, you know, telling me that, you know, I wasn't pushing myself hard enough. And I just thought, you know, the tie in there is, it doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, right? If you're in a high performing team and you are to be someone who is supposed to be high performing, you are going to be asked to get the absolute most out of yourself, and you need to get the most out of yourself. Otherwise, it's just not going to work.
So, how has high level sporting principles to success be a foundation that can be lived in our everyday lives? And how does someone who's normal but wants to live an extraordinary life, how do we apply those principles that you've lived by?
Absolutely. So I think that there are just a couple of principles which are key to answering your question here. So firstly, a key driver that I had was an intense drive to succeed, right? So you do need to have your why, I suppose, when you're trying to achieve anything which is grand. You know, when I moved over to, when I was looking to play basketball in America, like I only started playing basketball when I was, you know, taking it seriously when I was 13, 14 years old.
Wow.
So I had been playing, kicking around, but then I found this intense drive that I did not want to just live, you know, a normal life where I was just, you know, running through high school through year 12 here. I wanted to do something really, really extraordinary. I don't know why, but I decided to choose basketball as my outlet for that, or as my tool for that. So I had a huge drive to make it to America. Everything I did, my mind was just always, I'm going to make it to America. Right. So you need to have drive. Finding your why is so important, because without your why, you're not going to have, you know, your next thing, which is your discipline. I think you need to have your discipline in order if you're going to achieve something and anything at the high level. You're going to need to have that, you know, I mean, your podcast is Motivation Without the Hype. So, you know, your discipline is extremely important, because it's going to keep you going on those days when your motivation may not be high. You need to be able to focus on that process of, you know, step by step. You know, you want to achieve something, you know, you need to understand the steps that are required to get there, and you need to focus on those steps, you know, one thing at a time. You know, it might be, I need to achieve, you know, for me it was, I need to get into, you know, Victorian representative basketball first. And then once I do that, I need to join this particular academy. And once I've joined this academy, I need to go to this camp. But I need to always be focusing on what's next as part of the process. And one big principle that I found and I still find every day is you need to push yourself to points where you're extremely uncomfortable, because it's only then that you find is where real progress happens. So right. I needed to, as I was playing basketball, I always found that, you know, oh, just waking up at 6 wasn't enough for me because it wasn't pushing myself, right? I knew that I needed to start training where I almost felt like I was going to vomit at the end of the session, right? Felt lightheaded at the end of the session. Put so many shots up that like afterwards my feet started to hurt, right? Now, you know, I'm doing a lot of personal development stuff, you know, particularly working on a lot of mental stuff, right? I'm really finding that when I'm progressing and finding a lot more motivation out of myself, only when I'm pushing my mind to limits where, you know, I'm not very, you know, not used to it. So, I mean, an example would be, you know, getting myself up at like 4:30 in the morning. That's unheard of for me, right? You know, I'd get up at like, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, right? But get up at 4:30 and get outside and go for a run when it's, you know, 10 degrees, 9 degrees, just because, right? I found that being able to push yourself in these limits is where, you know, struggles in life are often the most beautiful things because they allow us to grow and they show us what we're made of.
Right.
So putting yourself through struggle is very important in succeeding. So no matter what you're doing, right, might be trying to be a better parent, might be trying to be a better partner, right, you need to push yourself to levels that are uncomfortable. What you're used to, you won't find success there because otherwise you'd have it by now, right? So you need to push those limits to levels where you are uncomfortable and they are sort of foreign to you as a person. Once you have this down, right, all of this needs to simply be applied through discipline.
Absolutely. So discipline, trusting the process and pushing the limits. And I think just that insight alone does give that foundation of what success is, and that can be translated. And you've gone through the fire. You've gone through, you know, those challenges of, you know, what it means to peak at that performance and translating that into business. And I think everyone can apply to that. So what would be your, you know, three, you know, achievable steps that people can succeed against all odds? Now, you've been in an environment where it's, you know, full discipline, it's quite full on. But if for someone who wants to have that type of aspiration energy that you have, what are the three steps they can do to achieve all against all odds?
Good question. Yeah, I like that you add all odds in there because I certainly, you know, a lot of the things that I feel I've done have been against the money. You know, me getting over to America, you know, I had lots of people be like, you're dreaming. You know, me starting my own business, you're dreaming, right? So against all odds, first thing would be find your why that is strong enough for you to commit to, right? And the good thing about that is, you know, succeeding in achieving anything, you're going to have a why. Why do you want to do that? No one just says, oh, I want to just do this for the fun of it, right? And if that's your why, then that's not going to get you anywhere, right? It's not going to get you anything extraordinary. Okay. So you need to have a strong why, something which is really going to keep you driven and something that, you know, for a lot of people, it might be their children. It might be, you know, because, it might be a single parent, it might be someone who has struggled with mental health issues, you know, and as a result, they want to get to a particular point, or they didn't have this as a child, but they want to be able to give that to their children when they're moving forward, or, you know, they had nothing when they're growing up, so they want to have everything when they're grown. So you need to have a why. Okay. Your second step would be you need to know the process, know what's required, and understand the work that is needed out of yourself to get to where you want to get to. Okay.
Wow.
So you need to, this is now tying into the process. You need to know what steps are required, right? So it's not all just, oh yeah, let's look in the mirror and say, we're going to make it, right? There is a lot of structure to this as well. What's next? okay, how can I follow this process? Because now you've got it's not a clear vision, but you have an understanding of what you need to do. You're not just shooting in the dark. Finally, you need to have unwavering belief in the narrative. Now, the narrative is your the success, right? And the narrative is effectively the end goal. You are going to make it. So you almost need to change your perception on reality, right? So my reality when I was trying to make it over to America was I'm already there. I've made it. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. It's strange. It's hard to put into words and explicate on it, but there was nothing that was stopping me getting over to America. It doesn't matter what level of basketball I was playing now, I was going to get there. Like, no one was going to change this belief of mine. I even had my parents tell me, like, James, like, you know, you've got to be a bit realistic about this, right?
Right.
Never listened to a word of it. My belief was so strong. I was so headstrong about it that nothing was going to deter me. So you need to really put your head into this bubble, right? That it's happened. It's going to happen. You need to visualize it. You need to see it, and you need to create a narrative around it, and you need to believe it. You know, I once heard Michael B. Jordan in a podcast, and I've actually said this to someone, you know, in the last week, and something that you need to adopt if you're looking to do this, you know, he says, you almost have to be a bit insane to have such blind faith in something that you cannot see.
Love that.
I lost my head in basketball. I lost my head in getting to that level. Right, nothing else was going to matter to me other than getting over to America. I was going to really, you know, I did. I had a vision that I couldn't even see, but I just had such strong belief in it that no one else did.
That's awesome. So
there's your third one, unwavering belief in the narrative.
Oh, man, unwavering. What was it? Unwavering
belief.
Belief
in the narrative. And the narrative is that the success. The narrative is your end goal.
Yeah. You know, self-belief breeds confidence. And when you have that unstoppable confidence, whether you have your mistakes and failures, it doesn't matter. You are going there. What you focus on is what you're going to get. And you do whatever it costs, you know, and that's discipline. The cost is, you know, going through the process. The cost is pushing the limits to the next level. And you've achieved that, and it's such a delight to hear your story, James, and what you've gone through. At your age, you know, people are still thinking and umming and ahhing, but, you know, hearing your story and others who are at that, you know, in the 20s are absolutely gutting it is because they have that focus, and it's got to do with those foundation principles that you live by. And now you're applying and helping others to do that. And that's amazing. Now, James, I ask this question to every guest that's on the show. What is your meaning of motivation without the hype? And how do you use motivation for your personal success?
Yeah, very, very good, Jess. Yeah, my answer to this might be a bit left of center. So let me tell you firstly what I believe motivation with the hype is, right? And today, motivation with the hype is kind of motivation through posting on social media, telling everyone what you're up to, telling your friends what you're doing, telling your family, you know, looking at yourself and, you know, just like G-ing yourself up, right? And you know, saying, yeah, like I'm going to do this, I'm doing that, right? But that's not real motivation. I believe real motivation is motivation without the hype, okay? Now, motivation without the hype isn't posting on social media, looking at yourself in the mirror and yelling affirmations at yourself. It's not telling your friends what you're up to, right? Motivation without the hype, quite simply, is discipline, right? It's consistent thought and action that evidence that you are moving in the direction that's in line with your why, okay? So none of this needs anything to do with social media. None of this, you know, needs anything to do with going off and speaking on a podcast. You know, I know it sounds counterintuitive, right? But it is... quiet, hard work right, that, that evidences that you are moving in the direction of your why. Now, I guess the motivation for me personally is seeing myself progress through life and seeing myself moving in a direction where, you know, I am, you know, happy with myself and happy with what I'm doing, and it's in line with my values as a person. You know, that's what inspires me and motivates me day to day, knowing that I'm actioning things and I have evidence to myself that I am moving in the right direction. There's no BS about it. It's purely just discipline.
That's powerful. And yeah, that's just a drop the mic moment. And, you know, we live with the hype, and I think, yeah, you're right. It's people do that just so they can motivate themselves, but really it's a decision. And that decision comes with discipline. That discipline comes with determination, you know, and it's, again, it's, if we were to boil down this episode, it's really discipline. And when you're a discipline, it gives you that center of focus where you want it. And you know what? These steps, the principle that you live by, you know, and hearing this is going to help and touch people's lives. And, you know, James, thank you so much for sharing that. It's been awesome. And it's such a privilege to have you on the podcast show. Now, guys, for more information and how you can get in touch with James, look at our show notes on our provided links. Please be sure to connect with him and follow him right away. So all the links are provided on the show notes. So don't forget. Now, if this episode has been helpful and uplifting, we would love for you to write a review to inspire more listeners to get plugged in. We will continue to provide high value content in each and every episode. Now, if you don't mind sharing this podcast show on social media by inviting others, it will mean the world to me. Every time you tag me or tag us, we will get the opportunity to share those posts, and together we can make a difference in the lives of others through inspiration episodes just like this. So there you have it. In closing, continue to unleash your greatness and tell yourself that I can, I will, and I must, and we'll see you on the next episode.